So we're looking on Daf Dalid Amud Aleph. See if you can count down from the top of the Amud. We'll count together. It's you know what? Maybe a short way of doing it would be to imagine about 12 lines down from the top, and to identify the line that we need. The first word in the line is Meikara. You see such a thing?
Yeah.
And we're going to start with Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim Chayavos ben Mikra Megillah. So the subject for our discussion tonight is women and whether or not they're obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi takes a positive stand. Women are obligated in Mikra Megillah. Why would you think, if not for Rav Yeshua ben Levi, that women are exempt from Mikra Megillah? What would be the Hava Mina?
Time-based.
Excellent. It's a time-based mitzvah. It only applies one day out of the year. So it would have the same status as Lulav, and Shofar, and Matzah. Well, Matzah is a special exception to the rule. But certainly in the case of Lulav and Shofar, and for that matter Sukkah, women are exempt because of time-bound mitzvah. That's called Mitzvah Seisheh Hazman Grama. Purim and Megillah in this case would be a classical case as Man Grum. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi is going to have to offer some explanation to justify why this is an exception to the rule and why women are obligated to Mikra Megillah even though it's a time-bound mitzvah. There's some pressing reason why women should be obligated. And the answer is Sha'af hein hayu bi oso hanes, because they too were included in the miracle of Purim. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Af hein hayu b'oso hanes. Sha'af al hanashim gazar Haman, when Haman made this gzerah and he got the okay from King Achashverosh, lahashmid laharog ula'abed, to destroy the Jewish nation, it says in the pasuk, minar v'adzaken taf v'nashim. So the women were also included. You know, sometimes you go out to battle and they spare the women. But Haman was an Amaleki, he wanted to destroy the Jewish people. The women were included in that gzerah. And therefore they experienced the miracle no less than the men did. The miracle was significant for them because otherwise, had there been no divine intervention to save the Jewish people, had Haman's decree been instituted, implemented, then the women would have perished as well. So they're part of the Hodayah to thank Hashem for the miracle. And therefore they have no less of an obligation than men to read the Megillah. So that's the subject of our discussion tonight. I think if we're learning selected sugyas in the Masechta Megillah, this is an excellent choice because we have to really know what is the status of women with regard to Mikra Megillah. We have the statement of Yeshua ben Levi. What would be your conclusion about the status of women in Mikra Megillah?
They have to hear it.
They have to hear it for sure. And would you be willing to go a step further and say that they have to hear it the same way men have to hear it? Meaning, shall we assume that the halachic obligation for women is identical with that of men?
Why not?
That should be our knee-jerk response. Women were included in the gzeirah, and therefore they have the chiyuv that men have. And that's exactly what Tosus points out. Tosus says, "Noshim chayovas b'mikra megillah mikan mashma." Would seem from the Gemara of Yeshua ben Levi, "Shanoshim motzios esacherim yidei chovason," that a woman could read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Now, normally, the principle of being motzi acherim is predicated on an equation. So, if Mr. A is being motzi Mr. B, then both Mr. A and Mr. B have to have the identical level of chiyuv. I'll give you an example where you don't have the same identical level of chiyuv. Let's say, for example, a child, a minor, as we would say, who's less than the age of bar mitzvah, is obligated in mitzvahs midin chinuch. But he doesn't have the same level of chinuch as an adult. And therefore a child, even if he's precocious, even if he's advanced way before beyond his years, he cannot be motzi a gadol. So let's say I ate a meal and a cotton ate a meal, can a cotton bench and I'll listen to his Birkas HaMazon and be Yotze? The answer is no. Because his obligation is lower on the stone pole, on the scale, than my obligation. So Tosaf says it would seem from Rabbi Shuv and Levi that a woman shares the same identical obligation as a man. And the nafkamina is going to be that a woman could read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Okay, so we live in a society where women are seeking out, you know, all sorts of mitzvahs, and they want to jump on the bandwagon, and they want to have the same status as men. So this is very contemporary, this Tosaf. And therefore, he says, Midaloka Amar doesn't say in Rabbi Shub and Levi, Lishma Mikra Megillah. If you take a look at Rabbi Shub and Levi carefully, he says, Nashim Chayavos B'Mikra Megillah. What does Mikra Megillah mean? Reading the Megillah. If not for the word reading the Megillah, you could have said, Nashim Chayavos, they have to come Lishma Es HaMegillah, just to hear the Megillah. So Tosaf says it doesn't say that. The way we have it, Rabbi Shimon Levi says they have to read the Megillah. They have the identical chiyuv as a man. And not only that, Tosaf says, V'hachina mimasha be'erchin, if you open up a Gemara in Erchin, the Gemara says in Erchin that hakol k'sherim likros es HaMegillah. Everyone is included, is valid in reading the Megillah. Umasik Gemara says, what is hakol k'sherim? Everyone? Why the extra word kol? Lasuye, to include my? And the Gemara answer is, mishani lasuye noshim. That women are included in hakol k'sherim likros es HaMegillah, to read the Megillah. Mashma, it seems, from the Gemara in Erechim, lahotzi afilu anoshim, that the women could read the Megillah on behalf of the men. Now all this is what I call Hakafa Aleph, the first round. Because from now on, Tosis is going to question, he's going to contest this premise. Because he has what's called a Tosefta. Tosefta is another word for a Braisa. And a Braisa is going to discuss the case of an androgynous. Now I don't know exactly how to translate that word into English. It's a Greek word. It's actually made up of two parts. Androgynous, which means a mixture. And this is a case of a human being that's born with both nakvus and zachus. It has all the genitals that you want. You know, the male and the female. Whatever you want, it is. And the question is, what's the status of an androgynous? Of an androgynous? Androgynous is a shas sugya. Almost wherever you turn, the Gemara asks, well, what's going to be in the case of an androgynous? Whenever the halacha makes a distinction between a man and a woman, where does an androgynous fit in? And an androgynous, in a sense, is going to get the negative aspects of both a man and a woman. In other words, whenever there's an invalidation because of a man, it's going to apply to androgynous, because androgynous is half male. Whenever there's an in the same thing with the female. So the Tosefta says the following. Tumtum, eno motzi lo es mino velo she'eno mino. A tumtum, we'll get to that in a second, cannot read the Megillah even on behalf of another tumtum. Now a tumtum is either a male or a female, but we haven't yet determined the sex of this person, because this tumtum has its genital areas covered by a membrane. So until we expose this, and it may take a while till the child matures, we don't know what the status is. So this is what you call a Sofek Zachar, Sofek Nekeva. Now, if one Tumtum wants to read the Megillah for another Tumtum, we have a problem. Why? Because it could be that one Tumtum is a female, and the other Tumtum is going to be a male. Because it's an either or. Tumtum is either a male or a female. And then it says, androgynous, motzi es mino, v'eino motzi es she'eino mino. An androgynous could read the Megillah on behalf of another androgynous. And why is that? Because they both have the same exact status. That new status of male, female, altogether. And again, once again, these things have every contemporary, you know, contemporary rings to them, because, you know, you have sex change operations and all this kind of chazarai. So, we have here the androgynous.
We have this exchange operations. I was speaking to endocrinologist. She says, in America, quite a lot, not a lot, but I mean, here's a percentage of children who are born
with both sets of genitals.
She says that she's got to sometimes play court with these kids to the side. Sometimes it's a big mistake happening.
Yeah. So in any event, this is called an androgynous and halacha. Now,
you get here that it's mentioned in the Gemara as well.
Right, right. Almost everything. You know, Siamese twins is mentioned. Yeah. The whole sugya about Siamese twins. Yeah. At first, the Gemara thought they were being cynical about it, and then somebody came in with two heads. One body with two heads. So the Chazal were aware of everything. Even stuff like cloning, which is a very modern biological breakthrough, even that has basis in the Gemara. It's called by a different name. It's called grafting, not, you know, harkova, but not, it's not called cloning, but it's very, very similar. You take one thing, you put it on top of the other, and through the combination you can produce something from the clone. In any event, we're talking about an androgynous. So the androgynous could read the Megillah on behalf of another androgynous. But the androgynous cannot read the Megillah on behalf of Eino Mino, meaning on behalf of man. Let's say an androgynous wants to read the Megillah on behalf of man, cannot do so. Why not? The androgynous has a male element to it, but it also has what?
A female.
The female part of the androgynous is not capable of being motzi, the male who wants to listen to the kriyas Megillah in this mitzvah. So you see that even though a woman seems to have, at the surface of it, the same identical status as a man as far as the mitzvah of kriyas Megillah, it's not really so. Because otherwise, why can't a woman, in this case the androgynous that has the status of a woman, why can't that androgynous read the Megillah for a man? Or take the case of Tum Tum. In the case of Tum Tum, we're afraid that the Tum Tum who's reading the Megillah might turn out later on to be what? A female. And the Tum Tum who's listening to the Kriyas HaMegillah of the Tum Tum is a male. So a female can't be motzi a male. So we have now a Tosefta. Now I want you to see the following. When you have an apparent contradiction between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who's an Amora, and a Tosefta, the Tosefta has much more halachic weight to it, because the Tosefta goes back to the time of whom?
Moshe.
The Tanoim. And Rabbi Shimon Levi is only an Amora. You remember that the Mesoras HaTorah goes through two major stages, the Tanoim and the Amoraim. The Amora cannot argue against the Tana. So the Tana takes precedence. If we have a Tosefta that clearly indicates a woman cannot be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah, then we can't, even if we think Rabbi Shimon Levi would say a woman can be motzi a man, in halachic significance, the Brisa takes precedence. It trumps Rabbi Shimon Levi. So in the development of this Tosis, we have Hakafa Aleph and Hakafa Beis. The first Hakafa, you know, Ad Kan Hakafa Aleph, 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 right? That's the presentation of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Ishach Chayeves B'Mikra Megillah, which sounds like she has the same status as a man. Not only that, the Gemara in Erechin says, Hakol Ksherim L'Mikra Megillah, Hakol Asuyei Mai L'Asuyei Nashim. It seems that men and women are equal in terms of their chiyuv, and therefore a woman could read the Megillah on behalf of a man. That's Hakafa Aleph. Now we get Hakafa Beis, and that's the Tosefta. Tosefta excludes a Tum Tum from reading on behalf of another Tum Tum. An androgynous from reading on behalf of a man. Apparently, the Nakfus, the possibility that this reader is female, is going to knock off the achievement of the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah through the principle of Yotzamotzi. It means that women do not share the same obligation as men. Now, again, we're going to have to understand conceptually, why shouldn't a woman have the identical obligation as a man? So Tosfos says, Kein Pasak HaHalachos Gedolos. HaHalachos Gedolos was early in the period of the Rishonim, and he paskins the Isha Motzia Mina, that a woman could read the Megillah on behalf of another woman, Avalo Anoshim, but she cannot read the Megillah on behalf of men. So again, if you ask me, Tosis Ashita, Tosis seems to assume, before it gets to the Tosefta, and that's how he says it also in Masechta Erechin, that a woman could read the Megillah on behalf of a man, they share the same chiyuv. But if you ask me, the Bahad, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, he says that a woman cannot be Motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. Then Tosfos adds the following. He says, "V'yesh lomar the salka daita lo yovel kriyosam afil lahotzi hanashim kamash malon de chayovim da kol chayovim b'shmiya avodim nashim uktane." In other words, how is the Bahag going to learn the Gemara in Erechin? The Gemara in Erechin says, Hakol Ksheir, mean of woman, look Mikra Megillah. Ah, what the Gemara in Erechin meant to say is that a woman could read the Megillah on behalf of another woman. And Tosus says that this is a big chiddush. There was a Havami, a Salkadait Chamina, that a woman, according to the Bahag, could not be Motzi, even another woman. And that's what the Mishnah in Erechin wants to emphasize, that Hakol Ksheir, meaning a woman could read the Megillah, but on behalf of whom?
Yes,
another woman. But not on behalf of a man. That's the way the Bahag understands. So we have two shittas now. Let's just summarize. The bottom line is, shittas hatosis is that women share the same identical chiyuv as men, and therefore a woman could be motzi a man. And the Bahag argues that women do not share the same chiyuv as men, and therefore a woman cannot read on behalf of a man. So what is the woman's chiyuv, according to the Bahag? It's not Kriya Samagilah, but rather what? Shmiya Samagilah. So a man has a chiv to read the Megillah, a woman has a chiv to hear the Megillah. So as far as the act of Kriya, she's not included in that chiv according to the Bahag. She doesn't share the chiv Kriya. She's only left with a chiv Shmiya. She has, if you will, a passive role to play in Megillah according to the Bahag. She's only listening to the Megillah. She's not reading the Megillah. In order to be motzi a man, she would have to have that same chiyuv of kriya, because the man has the chiyuv of kriya. Now the Bahag is saying that a woman doesn't have a chiyuv of kriya; she only has a chiyuv of what?
Shmiya.
Shmiya. I'm looking at you guys, and I don't see any expression on your face. Are you following me or not? Have I managed to lose you?
Not yet.
I feel a little lost.
You're a little lost. You're not totally lost.
No.
Well, that's good. So, you know, the ball game is not over yet. Where are we?
Right. It's never over.
Okay, good. Till the old lady.
There's the fabulous.
Till the lady sings, right?
The opera.
So, Ari, what can you help me out of here? At what point did I lose you?
We're talking about androgynous. We're talking about times the Siamese twins.
Oh, forget about the Siamese twins. I should have mentioned that. That's just going to confuse you. Like two heads, you know what I mean?
Right.
Moving in different directions.
And then the woman could read for another woman, but she can't read for...
another man. That's the sheet of the Bahag. So that's what you have to remember.
Right.
The Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, Bahag is an acronym for Baal Halachas Gedolos. He's of the opinion that a woman could only read the Megillah on behalf of another woman, but not on behalf of a man.
Right, which would seem like a problem, because if she's chayev...
Oh, so why can't she be motzi? If I'm chayiv, I can be motzi you.
Right.
So you remember I gave you that paradigm of a minor reading something like Birkas HaMazon on behalf of an adult, and he can't do so because they don't share what?
The same chiyuv.
Same chiyuv. Here too, the Bahag says that there's a fundamental difference between the chiyuv of a woman and the chiyuv of a man in Megillah. The chiyuv of a man in Megillah is kriya, is to read the Megillah. The chiyuv of a woman is not to read the Megillah. Her chiyuv is only to
hear
the Megillah. So she doesn't have the chiyuv of kriya. So when she does the act of kriya, that act, as far as she's concerned, is not an act of chiyuv. She's not a bar chiyuva. She doesn't come under the category of being obligated as far as kriya is concerned. So learns the Bahag. Tosus doesn't learn that way. Tosus thinks that a woman has the same identical chiyuv as a man. She's obligated not only in kriya, but also in shmiya. So now what we want to do is we want to try to analyze the shita of the Bahag. Why would the Bahag think that a woman is not obligated in kriya, but she's only obligated in shmiya? She only has a secondary obligation of shmiya. If she doesn't share the identical chiyuv of a man, namely kriya, then she cannot be motzi a man. Why? Why should a woman? After all, afhein hayu ba'oso anes. They were also included in the great miracle against the Gzera of Haman. So why is her obligation lower or less than a man? Why doesn't she have a chiyuv kriya and she's left with only a chiyuv shmiya according to the Bahag? Again, Tosfos says that she has the identical chiyuv of a man. She's chayev both in kriya and in shmiya. But according to the Bahag, she falls one level lower in the nature of the chiyuv because she's not chayev in kriya but only in shmiya. So what I have in front of me is what's called Yalkut HaBi'urim. Yalkut HaBi'urim is an anthology of literature on the Gemara itself. And when I say literature on the Gemara was spanning centuries upon centuries, somebody did their homework. And that's called the Yalkut HaBi'ur, which you'll find in this publication called Mesifta. And I'm very excited about this, if you haven't yet picked up on that, because it's an amazing piece of research. Now, first of all, why can't a woman, according to the Bahag, read the Megillah on behalf of a man? We said because she has a lower level of chiyuv, she's only obligated in what? In Shmiya. And she's not obligated in Kriya. However, that's not the only way of understanding why a woman cannot read the Megillah on behalf of the man. We can suggest here at least three other approaches to answer the question why, in the Bahag's frame of reference, a woman cannot be motzi a man. So before we do that, I'm just going to make a bracha because I got a little bit thirsty. Anyone else who wants to get themselves a tea or a coffee, please, you know where it is. Okay. So first we're going to start with the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos. That's called the Smag. The Smag, who lived many, many centuries ago, compiled a list of, a detailed list of the 613 mitzvahs. And he writes...
Did he live after Rambam?
A little bit, not much. And he writes, Ein ha-noshim motzios ha-noshim, Hagam means even though, Shebener Chanukah, the Gemara says in the Sechta Shabbos, Isha madlekes umotzia afes hanoshim. You see, the Smag is sharpening the question over here. You know how sometimes if you use a camera and you want to focus, sometimes it's a little bit vague, but if you press on a certain button, it gets sharp, you know, you sharpen the focus and the picture gets crystal clear. That's what the Smag is doing for us. How can you tell me, he's talking to the Bahag, that a woman can't read the Megillah on behalf of a man? Why is it different than Chanukah? The Gemara says explicitly that a woman could light the Ner Chanukah on behalf of the man, on behalf of everyone in the house. In fact, the Gemara establishes that if a man is on a trip, he's not even obligated in the mitzvah of Chanukah because his wife is going to fulfill the mitzvah by lighting the candle back at home. Says the Smag, there's a difference. Why? Because whereas the mitzvah of Chanukah is in the bayis, it's in the household, it's not what you'd call a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the tzibur as a communal mitzvah. It's a very private, personal mitzvah. What's unique about Megillah is that Megillah is read publicly. And that's based on the concept called Pirsume Nisa. In other words, to publicize
the candles. Candles.
Yeah, the candles have a Pirsume Nisa, but only vis-a-vis the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, meaning I light the candle in my private property, or my, you know, Pesach Beis HaMibachutz, and the people going in the public area will see my Megillah. Now, in Chabad, for example, they light the Hanukkah candles publicly. Have you ever seen that? You saw that?
Yes, yes.
Where did you see it?
Aki? In Rehavia.
In Rehavia. Yeah. And that's why the Chabadnikim will drive these
cars.
These cars, you know, that have a Chanukiah on it. In fact, very often at the White House in Washington, D.C., they will invite a Chabad rabbi to light the candles outside of the lawn of the White House. Again, I'm not going to tell you what's next to the candles. You can probably figure that out as well. You know, America is a very politically correct kind of country. So that's what happens. There's a public lighting of the Chanukah menorah. And Lubavitch will go very far with that. If you're at a wedding on a night of Chanukah, they'll set up a hadlaka for all the people who came to celebrate the Chasam Kala's wedding, because we have weddings on Chanukah. And any sort of public gathering, they will light the Chanukah candles with a bracha. That's how they understand it. But in the poskim, you won't see this. The poskim generally hold that Ner Chanukah is lit in the privacy of one's chatzer, his courtyard, or in his house, on his table, wherever he's lighting Chanukah candles. Megillah has a definite element of a communal reading of the Megillah. And why is that so, says the Smach? Megillah fits into the pattern of something even greater than the Megillah. Something even broader. And that's called Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. We read the five books of Moses publicly. Megillah is not one of the five books of Moses, not included in Chumash, but it's included in what? Tanakh. It's part of Ksuvim. And since it's included in Tanakh, it's one of the 24 holy books, therefore it has the status of Kriyas HaTorah, and Kriyas HaTorah has to be read B'Tzibur. By the way, if you go back to the Chumash itself, you will find one discussion, one case in the Torah itself where the Torah is read publicly. Does anybody know what I have reference to?
Sorry, what?
Where do you find within the five books of Moses an indication that the Torah has to be read publicly?
Hakel.
Excellent, Hakel. Do you know which parasha it is?
Now it's testing me.
What do you say? Now I'm really quizzing you. But Hakel. Hakel is in Parshas Vayelech. It's one of the shortest, if not the shortest, parsha in the Torah. But there the Torah says, gather together the entire community and read the Torah publicly. How often did that happen?
Every 7 years.
Excellent. Every 7 years. So that's the mitzvah of Hakel. So Hakel already gives me a precedent to this concept in the law of the Torah of reading the Torah publicly. The Smag wants to take it a step further. Not only do we read from the Chumash publicly, which we do every Shabbos, we do not only Shacharis, but also Mincha of Shabbos, we do it on Mondays and Thursdays, we also do it when we read the Megillah. The Megillah is read publicly. And that's the ideal form of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, if you want to backslide, let's say you don't have the opportunity to read the Megillah publicly, let's say you're not feeling well and so forth, you can't go out of your house, the doctor, you have strict physician's orders, stay home, so you read the Megillah privately. And then it becomes like Chanukah. But in the classical ideal sense, the Megillah should be read publicly like Kriyas HaTorah, says the Smag, with regard to public reading. There's a concept called Kavod HaTzibur, and for the Kavod HaTzibur, women do not read things publicly. Again, don't talk to me about other movements of so-called Judaism, but in Orthodox Judaism, women do not read publicly because of Kavod HaTzibur. Says the Smag, just like a woman would not be kosher for Kriyas HaTorah publicly, she's not kosher for Kriyas HaMegillah as well. Comes out that according to the Smag, in the privacy of my home, can I ask my wife to read the Megillah for me?
Yes.
There's no Indian of Kavod HaTzibur. It's a private reading. So the Smag is now whittling down. He's limiting this halacha that a woman can't be motzi a man. He's saying a woman can't be a motzi a man when she has a problem with Kavod HaTzibur and she can't read it publicly. But if, according to the Smag, if she's reading it privately, then she should be able to be motzi a man. And I was in this poll here. He has a footnote here, the name of the Ra'im, that's Rabbi Elio Mizrahi, who says that Afli Ish Yachid Eino Isha Motzio. He says that once the Takana was established, the enactment that the mitzvah should be, Megillah should be ideally read publicly, and therefore we exclude a woman from reading the Megillah on behalf of a man, it'll apply even in private. But again, conceptually, according to the Smag, there's no reason why a woman shouldn't be able to read the Megillah privately. Joel, are you asking something?
Yeah, I was going to say the difference though between Kriyat HaTorah and Kriyat HaMegillah is that with the Torah you need a minyan to read it, whereas a and Megillah, with Kriyat and Megillah, you don't need.
We don't usually read the Megillah without a minyan. We require a minyan for Kriyat and Megillah. In fact, there's a sheet of Rav Ashi, we don't accept that sheet, that the Megillah could only be read publicly with a minyan.
I thought, for example, well, with the Torah, you don't go around to a hospital reading Kriyat and Torah without a minyan. With the Megillah, I thought you could go around.
Only if it's necessary, because you have people who will not be part of the public communal reading in the Megillah. But in the perfect ideal way, the way the Chazal envisioned the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, it's exactly like Kriyas HaTorah. It requires a klaf, it requires a public, the reading with a minyan. That's the way it is. Rav Ashi, by the way, we don't paschal like Rav Ashi, is of the opinion that you could only read the Megillah publicly. A private reading of the Megillah is not even a mitzvah. But we don't paschal like Rav Ashi, he's a Das Yochi. But everybody agrees that ideally there should be a minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah. You should know the poskim say that the brachas that we recite after Kriyas HaMegillah are only if the Megillah was read publicly with a minyan. What's that called, the bracha after the Megillah? You remember what it's called? Excellent, Arabis Rivenu. So if I'm reading the Megillah for you privately, there won't be a bracha of Arabis Rivenu. Again, it's machlokas poskim, but that's pretty much how we pask. So again, with regard to the Bahag, we said that the reason why a woman can't read for a man is because she doesn't have a chiv kriya, she only has a chiv of what? Shmia. The Smag is saying the reason why a woman can't read for a man is because the way that Chazal enacted the mitzvah Megillah, it's a public reading, and we have an issue of kavanat. Then we go on to another sefer, which is called the Sefer HaMa'oros. I'm not so familiar with this sefer, but he quotes him as saying that there's another reason why a woman should not read the Megillah on behalf of a man, and that has to do with a principle which is called tzniut, kol be'isha erva. I don't know if you're familiar with these concepts, but the voice of a woman is considered enticing in the halacha. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you walk by and you hear a woman's voice and it does trigger off some sort of a response. That's the way the male, the psyche is built. So because of this, Chazal say that kol be'isha erva. We should not be listening to the voice of a woman. And therefore he says that a woman, when she makes a bracha, the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, she would recite a bracha for her husband, because in the case of her husband, there's no problem of erva, but not for someone else. So as a general rule, we don't listen to the bracha of another woman, and we make what's called harchakos, we make separations between men and women, again, except in the case of a married man to his wife, which I discussed last night in the Pelioites class, but in the case of a man and a friend or woman, meaning a strange woman, then we make these harchakas, and therefore a woman should not be reading the Megillah on behalf of a man. Comes out that according to the Sefer HaMa'oros, if a woman would be reading the Megillah on behalf of her husband, there would be no problem. Whereas according to the Bahag, we have a problem, because the Bahag says that she's not obligated in Kriya, she's only obligated in Shmia, and there's no difference between a man and his wife and a man and someone else. Then we get to the third approach, and that's the Turi Evin. The Turi Evin is otherwise known in the yeshiva world for another work that he wrote, that he authored his magnum opus, which is called the Shagas Aryeh. He lived approximately 2 centuries ago. And the Turi Evin says that women are obligated just like men in Kriya, not only in Shmia, but also in Kriya, not the way the Bahag says it. However, the reason why a woman could not be motzi a man is because her chiyuv is what's called derabanan. Now watch this. All of the mitzvahs of the Torah fit into one of two categories. It's either doraisa or derabanan. And one of the major differences between the two is that if I'm chayiv doraisa and you're chayiv derabanan, I can be motzi you, but you can't be motzi me. We have to, as we said before, have the identical chiyuv. So for example, a kohen might be chayiv in mitzvahs if he's mature. That's called a chinuch derabanan, but he can't be motzi me if I ate a meal, because I'm chayiv doraisa. Comes along the Turi Evin with an unbelievable chiddush. He says that a woman's chiyuv is derabanan in Mikra Megillah. And a man's chiyuv? It's still right, so. Where does it say in the Torah you have to read Megillas Esther on the 14th of Adar? And here's where the Torah Yevon comes up with an unbelievable breakthrough. He calls it, listen carefully, Midivrei Kabbalah. Now, what this means is the following. Normally, we have black and white. It's either black or it's white. It's either in the Torah of the Mitzvah, and then it's Doraisa, or it's not in the Torah, and it's Derabbanan. Comes along the Torah Yevon, and he has a gray area. It's somewhere between Doraisa and Derabbanan. And he calls it Midivrei Kabbalah. And Midivrei Kabbalah means that if I can show you that this obligation is written somewhere in Tanakh, it's not in the five books of Moses, that would make it Doraisa, but it's somewhere in Nevi'im or in Ksuvim, then it has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah, which means it's in Tanakh, upgrades it to the status of a Doraisa. It's like a Doraisa. For example, what would you say about the following question? You may or may not know this. In Tveria, the city of Tveria, they read the Megillah on both the 14th and the 15th. Why?
It's a walled city, right?
They're not sure. It may be a walled city that dates back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun, or it could be, and then the archaeologists are debating this back and forth, that we don't have exactly the same location in Tveria as it was in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So we don't know. Should the Megillah be read with the Prazim, that's on the 14th, or with the Krachim, Mukafis Choma, the walled cities on the 15th? So when are they going to read the Megillah?
No.
On both days. Same thing, by the way, in Har Nof, where I live, in the old days, now already pretty much you won't find a reading for the Megillah in Har Nof on the 14th. But back in my day, when I settled in Har Nof, I go back a long, long time, before you were born, child, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, then we read the Megillah on both the 14th and on the 15th. In Mevaseret Zion, where I spent 20 years of my life teaching, we used to read the Megillah on both days, on the 14th and the 15th. Because at that time, Mevaseret Zion was far away from Yerushalayim. When I say far away from Yerushalayim, it was separated by empty areas. There was no continuous Yishuv. Anyway, this is very complicated. But now the question arises. With regard to a mitzvah derabbanan, if I have a suffix, I don't know if I'm chayv or not chayv, what's the rule of thumb? As opposed to doraisa. Suffix doraisa l'chumra, suffix derabbanan, l'kula. We go l'kula. So why do I have to read the Megillah twice? Why not just read it once? I have a suffix, maybe I should read it on the next day, on the 15th as well. Suffix derabbanan l'kula. Says the Torah Yevon, because Kriyas HaMegillah is midivrei Kabbalah. It's written, it's codified in the Tanakh, and that upgrades it to the status of a quasi doraisa. And therefore we drop the principle of suffix derabbanan l'kula. Comes along with Torah Yevon, he says, here's the difference between a man's obligation in Megillah and a woman's obligation in Megillah. A man's obligation in Megillah is written in the Megillah itself. The Megillah itself speaks about Mordechai sending out the igros, you know, the letters to the people that they have to read the Megillah on the 14th and on the 15th. The chiyuv of women is codified by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That's already derabbanan. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when the Rabbanan decided, when they had to decide whether women should have to hear the Megillah or not, their svar, their logic was, afein hayu bosanes. But that only makes the chiv of a woman into a drabbanan. The man's chiv, insofar as it's codified in the Megillah itself, is midirei kabbalah, which is a quasi doraisa, and therefore she cannot be motzi a man. Brilliant chiddush of the Torah Yevon. So we have now three new approaches to understand why a woman could not read the Megillah for a man. One is the smag. The smag says that Kriyas HaMegillah is like Kriyas HaTorah. It has an element of tzibur, of communal obligation. And when it comes to the community, we have a rule called kavarat tzibur, that a woman is not motzi the entire tzibur. Number two, we have the Sefer Ma'oros. He wants to say that it's a tznius problem. If she's reading on behalf of her husband, that's fine. And finally, to Yevon, that even though a woman has the identical chiv of a man as far as kriya is concerned, she's obligated both kriya and shmiya, but nevertheless, her chiv is not equal to his. His is midirei kabbalah, hers is derabbanan. Then you have the Bahag. The Bahag himself says the reason why a woman can't be motzi man is because she's only chayev in Shmiyas HaMegillah, she's not chayev in Kriyas HaMegillah. So we have four different logical reasons why one might suggest that a woman can't read on behalf of a man. Some of those reasons of those four are fundamental, which means they apply absolutely in any situation. Others might be relative. For example, if you go with the smag, then if she's reading publicly, that's a problem, kavanat tzibur. But if she's reading privately for a man, that would be okay. Or, alternatively, if you go with the sefer ma'oros, if a woman's reading on behalf of her husband, but if you go with the bahag or the turi evan, then it's absolute. A woman does not share the same level of chiyuv as a man. Either according to the Baha'i because she's only chayv in Shmiya and not in Kriya, or according to the Turi Eben because she only has a chiyuv d'rabbanan, whereas his chiyuv is midivrei kavanah. Joel?
I was just going to ask, is the concept of divrei kavanah used elsewhere in halacha quite a lot? Or is it just fairly unique?
Yeah, all over Shas you'll find midivrei kavanah. Whenever the halacha derives something from a pasuk in Tanakh, that's called midivrei kavanah. The chiddush of the Turi Eben is that whereas a man's chiyuv of Megillah is midivrei kavanah, that's been already etched in stone in the Megillah itself in Tanakh, and therefore it has a status of what we call a quasi d'oraisa. A woman's obligation was invented by the Rabbanan. It has no basis in the Tanakh itself. That gives it the status of the Rabbanan. She's obligated to the Rabbanan just like a man in both Kriya and Shmiya, says the Turi Eben, but not on a level of midivrei kavanah. The nafkamina says she can't read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Let's go back to the Baha'i. Tosis quotes the Baha'i.
What happened in the case, Rabbi Mike? A woman is, there's no man to read the Megillah, and a woman is capable.
So then I would say that if we want to make the smag into a happy camper, she should read the Megillah privately, but not publicly. And we'll rely on that opinion if we have no other possibility and there's no man around to read the Megillah. Let's say you had a man who's a total ignoramus. Because again, even though we have to read the Megillah with Trump, you could be yotzei the Megillah without Trump. And therefore, a man would have to be a really ignorant person in order not to read the Megillah. But if such a metzius would happen, then she would read on behalf of the man. And that's the best we can do, but I would say let's avoid a public reading because of the smag. According to the Baha'i, in such a case, he's not yotzei. So, for example, if you were to ask me whether he should make a bracha in this case, such as she already made her bracha, and she read it, now she wants to read it a second time on behalf of a man who cannot read it. I'll give you a mitzvah. Let's say the man has a problem, you know, he went to his oral surgeon, what?
He could be blind as well.
Okay, that's a whole different issue. I don't think a blind person is chayav in Megillah, but I don't want to get into that now. But I'm talking about a person who simply can't enunciate the words. So he has the status of every single Jew, but he can't read the Megillah. You know what I'm saying? Imagine, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of getting Novocaine, you know, after what do they call it, root canal work. I mean, lo aleinu, so sometimes after Novocaine, your mouth is so frozen, I'm just giving a scenario, you'll come up with your own creative ideas. In such a case, he has no possibility of reading it, just technically. Should she read it on behalf of him? According to the Baha'i, it's meaningless, because she doesn't share the same chiyuv as he does. Okay, now we get to the main discussion for tonight. Why does the Baha'i believe that women are obligated in Shmiyas HaMegillah, but not in Kriyas HaMegillah? Why can't Af Hein Hayu Be'oso Anes be a compelling logic to obligate a woman in Kriyas HaMegillah? Why is it only Shmiya according to the Baha'i? So he quotes in the Yalkut Biurim three answers to this question, three different approaches to answer the question. The first approach is the Avnei Nezer. Have you ever heard of the Avnei Nezer? Have you ever heard of Sukachev? It was a city in Poland. So Sukachev gave birth to a major wing of Hasidus, a Hasidic movement that ultimately blended with the Gera Hasidim. But anyway, this was called Sukachev. And the Avnei Nezer was the Sukkach of a Rebbe. If you're interested in Chumash, then there's a Pirush on Chumash, which is also very popular, called the Shem Mishmuel. It's been translated into English, not a literal translation, word for word, but a, what do they call it?
Conceptual.
Conceptual, yeah. by the chief rabbi of England. What's his name?
Rabbi Moses.
Sachs.
Or Rabbi Sachs.
No.
Chief Rabbi
Moses. No. I'm making a mistake. Who, Rabbi Mervis. Who's the chief rabbi?
Rabbi Ephraim Mervis, no.
So I think he did it. I'm not sure. I'm making a mistake. It's not Rabbi Mervis.
Jacob Ovitz?
No. It's not the chief rabbi of England. I made a mistake. Anyway, I have a copy of the English version if anyone's interested. Again, I don't know where it is, but I can look for it. And that's written by the son of the Sokhet Shomer, and a lot of his Torah is to present his father's insights. Anyway, the Avnei Nezer. Listen to an unbelievable insight of the Avnei Nezer. You see how creative minds think in a very creative way. Says the Avnei Nezer, Kriyas HaMegillah is really a hybrid, a complex entity. It's like in chemistry, you know, you could have oxygen and you could add hydrogen and you combine the two and you get a new entity. This entity called Kriyas HaMegillah is made up of two parts, A plus B. A is Pirsum HaNes, to publicize the miracle. In this context, we'll soon see that according to the Avnei Nezer, there's no difference between a man and a woman. But there's another element that's hidden away, tucked away below the surface. And that's called Zechiras Amalek. Insofar as Haman was an Amaleki, the reading of the Megillah is part of the mitzvah to remember Amalek. And that mitzvah of Zachar Es Asher Asalach Amalek is fulfilled by Kriyas HaMegillah. Comes along the Avnei Nezer and he says the following, herein lies the difference between a man and a woman. Because the Chiras HaMolek is a subcategory, if you will, an extension, a branch of Mechias HaMolek. Mechias HaMolek means to go out and battle against HaMolek. Whenever you have a melchama, a battle, who's obligated to go out to battle? The men and not the women. The Torah imposes the mitzvah melchama on men and not on women. Insofar as, again, there are three premises here. Premise number one is that Mikra Megillah is part of and the kiyum of Mikra Megillah is generated by Zechiras HaMolek. That's premise number one. Major breakthrough. Premise number two is that Zechiras HaMolek, remembering HaMolek, is an extension of what? Mechias HaMolek, the Melchama against HaMolek. Premise number three, the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek is incumbent upon men and not women. So it's a whole Chagadiyah here. You know, it's a domino theory. Since the mitzvah of Melchama is incumbent upon to destroy Amalek is incumbent upon the men and not the women. And since the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek is an extension of the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, so who's ever obligated in Mechias HaMolek is obligated in Zechiras HaMolek. Who's ever not obligated in Mechias HaMolek is not obligated in Zechiras HaMolek. Women who are not obligated in Mechias HaMolek are therefore ipso facto not chayav in Zechiras HaMolek. Now we get to the next premise. The mitzvah of Megillah is a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. We just established that women are not chayav in Zechiras HaMolek. So Zechiras HaMolek means kriya, meaning reading the Torah publicly. That's how we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. And when it comes to a public reading of Zechiras HaMolek, women are not chayav. So women are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah mitzad what? Pirsum HaNes, because Afein Hayu, the Osa HaNes, they were also included in the great miracle of salvation of Purim. But they're not obligated in that dimension of Mikra Megillah, which is a kiyum of Zechiras HaMolek, to read the Megillah as a means to fulfill Zechiras HaMolek. Zachar Es Asher Asa L'cha HaMolek. So, for example, you'll notice on Purim, they'll tell the women, or I shouldn't say on Purim, I should say the Shabbos before Purim, right? What do we do on the Shabbos before Purim?
We read
the Parsha Amalek to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. So you'll notice that they have a separate reading for the women. According to the Sukkot of the Avnei Nezer, that's totally unnecessary. There's no point to it. Women are not obligated in the midst of Zechiras HaMolek. And that's why, says the Avnei Nezer, the Bahag excludes women from being motzi a man. A woman is certainly obligated. She's obligated to read the Megillah as Pirsum HaNes, Afein Hoyvos HaNes, but she's not obligated in that dimension of the mitzvah, because this mitzvah is a hybrid mitzvah. It's a complex entity of Zechiras HaMolek. Wow, I mean, this is mamish stunning. Then we go to the Kilos Yaakov. Does anybody know who authored the Kilos Yaakov? He lived an hour maybe not in your time, but certainly in my time, he's always known as the stipler. His son has sort of inherited his father's position, maybe even gone beyond. His name is Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Have you ever heard of him? Anybody know which city you have to associate with Reb Chaim Kanevsky and with his father? Bnei Brak. So next time you're in Bnei Brak, go say hello to Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Chances are you won't be able to, because the line goes around the block.
Isn't he considered the biggest rabbi in the world?
Probably. And his father was considered the biggest rabbi in the world in his time. He's the Kilus Yaakov, and he wants to answer the question, why does the Bahag believe that women are obligated in Shmir and not in Kriya as far as Megillah is concerned? And once again, he comes up with this idea of a complex mitzvah. Now, in order to understand the complexity of Mikra Megillah according to the Stipler, we have to go back and ask another question. On Hanukkah, every single day we recite what?
Hallel.
On Purim, there's no recitation of Hallel. Mm-hmm. So who asks this question? The Gemara itself. The Gemara says, why don't we read Hallel on Purim? Hanukkah, yes, and Purim, no. So according to one answer in the Gemara, that's perhaps the main answer, the most famous answer, Kriyas Zui Hilula, meaning that Kriyas HaMegillah itself is a mitzvah of Hallel. When we publicly read the Megillah and describe all the details of what went on, that's like reciting Hallel. That's what the Gemara says. So we have a substitute for Hallel. Indeed, the Bir Halacha of the Mishnah writes that, let's say Chayalim, he doesn't speak about Chayalim, but I know from my experience in Tzal that this was very relevant. Chayalim who cannot get access to a Megillah on Purim because they're stuck in some Motzav, you know, up in who knows where.
Chabad don't come down.
So they should recite, they recite Hallel. I don't know if Chabad can get there, I'm not sure. You know, there may be places on the face of the earth, but even Chabad doesn't. On the moon, there'll definitely be Chabad. I have no question about that. When we get to Mars, the first sign we'll see is the house, you know, the Beit Chabad. You go to, for example, Thailand, and this I can tell you from personal experience, in the city of Bangkok, there are two major Chabad centers. I mean, really serious centers. And the best food that you'll get in Bangkok is in Chabad. Certainly the kosher, the best kosher food, that's for sure. In any event, I don't know if Chabad is able to get to these small places where a bunch of chayalim who are deep in the mud. I remember when I was in Gaza. I mean, I tell you, the mud when it rains, you know, reaches your belly. I mean to say, so it could be Chabad will reach the belly. They'll get down there, but there's certain places. So what do the chayalim do? Pili plum. They recite Hallel. Did you ever hear of Hallel on Purim? There is Hallel on Purim. If there's no Megillah, then there's going to be Hallel. And that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens in Bir Halacha. So now, Kriyas HaMegillah, says the stipler, becomes a complex entity. I call it a hybrid. It's made up of A plus B. The first element is Pirsa Manes. Women are the same as men. Afein Hoyibos. But there's another element in Mikra Megillah that's a little bit hidden below the surface. And that is the mitzvah of Hallel. Here there's a difference between men and women. Because the Gemara establishes in Masechta Erechin that men are obligated in Hallel and women are not obligated in Hallel. No, insofar as women are not obligated in Hallel, their mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is a partial mitzvah. It's not a full-fledged A plus B mitzvah. They don't share the same identical chiyuv as men. And the Stipler says that as far as Pirsum HaNes is concerned, all you need is Shmiah. If you listen to the Megillah, that's enough for Pirsum HaNes. So a woman was only obligated in Pirsum HaNes in Megillah, therefore she only has the chiyuv of what? Shmiah. But as far as Kriya is concerned, which is the focal point of Hallel, the reason why in Mikra Megillah a man has a chiyuv not just of Shmiah but also of Kriya is because of the mitzvah of Hallel that's concealed below the surface of Megillah. Because Megillah is a mitzvah of Hallel, Kriyas Zui Hilula, and therefore a woman is exempt from Kriya because she doesn't have the chiyuv of Hallel, as the Gemara establishes in Masechta Erechin. And then we get to the Chikrei Lev. I think his last name was Chazan, if I'm not mistaken. He was a Sephardic rabbi about 150 years ago. And he writes the following. He says that Kriyas HaMegillah, when they established it, was established as a kind of Kriyas HaTorah. You may remember that we said something very similar according to the Smach. comes along with Chikrei Lev, and he says, if we want to accept an analogy between Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaTorah, so he says the following: although women have the chiyuv of piercing on nes, but they're not obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah, and therefore they don't have the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. So he says that there are two, again, this complex idea, this hybrid idea in Mikra Megillah, there are two parts to Mikra Megillah, two kiyumim. There's a kiyum of piercing on nes, and there's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. And where do we find Talmud Torah for a woman? Where do we find that the Torah itself mandates that a woman has to come around to hear the Torah? Joel, you said it before. Hakel. Because in Hakel it says, Noshim, in Parshas Vayelech, you haven't forgotten, right? And women, but there the chiyuv of a woman is to hear the Torah. And so too, in the chiyuv of Mikra Megillah, and so far as Mikra Megillah is also a quasi-chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah, women would have to hear the Torah being read, the Megillah being read, but they don't have a chiyuv of Kriya. And therefore women and men do not share the same identical chiyuv. So now, Rabosi, to summarize, we have three different approaches, even four different approaches as to why a woman cannot be motzi a man, and we have three different approaches as to why the Bahag thinks that women are obligated only in Shmiya but not in Kriya. Let's go over them very quickly. The Avnei Nezer says women are only obligated in Shmiya because of the mitzvah of Pirsum, but as far as Kriya, which is a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, women are not obligated insofar as they're not obligated in Mechiyas HaMolek. We have the Kilas Yaakov the Stipler, who says that there's another element to Kriyas HaMegillah, which is Hallel, and women are not obligated in Hallel. Then we have the Chikrei Lev, that Kriyas HaMegillah was created as a framework of Kriyas HaTorah, and although women have obligation to hear the Torah, they don't have an obligation to read the Torah, because in Hakel, their Chiyuv is, as the Gemara says, the beginning of Chagiga Noshim Bos Lishmoa, they come to hear the Torah being read. Now let's go back to Tosfos. Tosfos says that there's a havamina, that a woman can't read the Megillah even on behalf of another woman. Because the Gemara in Erechin says, HaKol K'sherim L'mikra Megillah Afilu Noshim. Kol K'sherim, the call is Lasuye Noshim. So let's now put on our thinking caps. According to the Bahag, that women are obligated in Kriya, I'm sorry, in Shmiya, and not in Kriya. So what's the difference between one woman and another woman? Both women have the same identical chiyuv. They're shava b'shava. They're obligated in Shmiya. What was the hava mina? Why would it cross anyone's mind that a woman can't read the Megillah on behalf of another woman?
Probably need somebody who's higher in Kriya in order to fulfill the needs.
Excellent. I love that. Wow. Muchas gracias. I really have to thank you for that. You gave me a new faith here. You hear what he's saying? Very brilliant. The mitzvah of Megillah is to have a Kriya and then is a Shmiya. Someone who's obligated in Kriya can create an entity of Mikra Megillah. Now the woman could link in and plug in, you know, what do you call it? You know, when you plug into something you want to hear. What's that word, you know? Alright, we'll use the phrase plug in, because I guess you don't have a better phrase, right? Like let's say, for example, you have these machines that listen, you can listen to music on the machine, but you have to plug in, right? So you have to plug in for a Shmiya HaMegillah to a Kriya. Only a person who's obligated in Kriya can create that entity called Mikra Megillah, a Cheftza, an entity of Kriya. So a woman has to hear the Megillah, the Havamina was, she has to hear the Megillah from a man. Because since he has a Chiyuv of Kriya, not just Shmiya, she can now appoint the man to create the Mikra Megillah, and now she can plug in and have a Shmiya. But for her to read the Megillah, since she doesn't have a Chiyuv of Kriya according to the Bahag, she cannot create this entity that would facilitate a Shmiya, and therefore the Havmiya was a woman could not read the Megillah on behalf of men. And finally, in the last 2 minutes that we have, do me a favor, Joel, open the door so we'll hear when they're ready to clap Baruch Hu. Here we have a question. What is Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes? Let's translate it literally. Even they were included in the miracle. What does Rashi say? Who remembers what Rashi said? It's already an hour has passed. But you can at least remember things for a full hour. El Hora, right? 1 hour should be enough. Nobody remembers? What was the Gzeir of Haman? Larig Lashaben, Nashim are mentioned. So they're included in Nashim. That's what Rashi says here in Masechta Megillah. However, Afhein Hoyu Osones appears in two other places. It appears with regard to Chanukah, that women are obligated in their Chanukah, and it appears with regard in Pesachim with regard to the mitzvah of Dalit Kosmos. In those two places, Rashi gives a different explanation. And Rashi says, Shahanes ba al yada, that they were the ones who brought about the miracle. So in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chazal say, Bishchus Noshim Tzidkanios, because of the unbelievable tzidkus of the women. Is that what he said? Excellent. As far as Chanukah is concerned, Yehudis, she played a major role in the defeat of the Yevonim, and as far as Pur, as far as Megillah is concerned, it's Esther. So we have now three holidays. The miracles of those three that are commemorated on those three holidays were brought about by whom?
Women.
By the women folk. So we have two approaches now to Afhein Hoyavosanes. One approach is to say that they needed the miracle just no less than the men needed them. They needed Yetzias Mitzrayim and freedom, liberation from the Egyptians, no less than the men did. And in the case of Yevonim, the persecution of the Greeks, the women needed it. In the case of Purim and the persecution of Haman, the women needed it. The other approach is to say no. The reason why women are obligated Afhein Hoyu is because they were the ones who played the major role to bring about the miracle. Okay then?
Sure.
So we'll stop here, and I thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much.